The only thing that's I feel is wrong about it is it's an annual, so you can't. It does not come back every year. You have to resow it and get a fresh crop. Fresh basil is just amazing. Basil or basil, whoever you're talking about, it's one and the same. And between that and parsley, between them, they're just off and on the greatest things you can have, and they will help get rid of thrips, T-H-R-I-P-S, and moths, which, of course, they deter those, and you don't want those flying around. So for one thing, if you have tomatoes and have not done this, you might want to procure yourself a seed packet of basil. And then also of parsley. With parsley, you can soak the seeds overnight in a saucer of water and will help them germinate. They are notoriously slow to germinate when you grow them. But this time of year, you can throw them out in the garden and they'll come up pretty rapidly. I think they're wonderful. If you have not ever tasted basil, you're in for a treat because it's great in salads and you use it to cook with. It's just delightful. And it's a really pretty plant because it has real shiny leaves and there are whole different varieties of them. So look into that. For one thing that it helps with, it does attract bees, and parsley itself will attract beneficial insects in general, and that's kind of helpful that it doesn't attract ones that will come in and eat it up, because that happens too. But both of those in the garden are just a really good pair to grow. You can tuck them in and around your tomatoes. They do not get really humongously tall because you are harvesting them all the time, so you're kind of keeping them within growing perimeters, which really helps, and they just really are great. They pollinators love them. The beneficial insects appreciate them. So I think that if you don't plant anything else, the one thing that I probably would suggest is parsley and basil, B-A-S-I-L. There are different varieties of basil. I'm not going to go into they're limitless, the numbers that have been established, all different kinds. So any kind of basil you grow, it's kind of fun to do some of the other basils beside the large-leafed green one that you're really probably familiar with. There's a beautiful basil that is a deep purple that is gorgeous. I mean, it's just pretty in a pot. So be adventurous and try some different ones if you haven't. I would recommend it. Potatoes and garlic are really good. One of the things that you can do between roses is potatoes and things is make sure that the garlic is near lettuce. It's also near like cabbage. And one of the things it does, and of course it sometimes overwinters for us. So you're producing a crop that may come back the next year, but it deters aphids, and aphids are one of the life's crumb bum things that we get in a garden. One of the ones that's not very welcome, bless its soul, but it does deter aphids, and that's really kind of helpful. Garlic deters a lot of things, actually, in society and in the garden.
It deters my children. I know that. They don't like it.
No, that's not unusual.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't like a whole handful at one time ourselves. You have to be judicious about that. But garlic does have a really good help. It deters aphids and moths, and it also helps keep away Japanese beetles, which at one point in the next month or so we will talk about in depth, because that's one of the things we hope do not hit the gardens this year. Cabbage and broccoli and kale are really easy to grow from seed, and that's what I'm commenting on mainly today, is growing things by seed. And it's really, really great. Plant them with nasturtiums nearby. If you're not familiar with nasturtiums, they're an old seed that produce a marvelous crop of beautiful flowers. I just love them. They're one of the groups that I love to grow in the garden. They're very easy to grow. They grow in really crummy conditions. You don't have to have incredibly great soil. They will grow almost anywhere you put them. They are slow to germinate. They are slow to grow. So now's a good time to get them started. And they have absolutely gorgeous colors. When they do bloom, they're yellows and the oranges, and they're very bright. And they are bright also on your plate because they have a real taste all their own, a flavor that some people probably don't like. I like them both on the plate and in the garden because they serve such a good purpose. So plant that. And also the other thing you can plant with that is some sage, S-A-G-E, which is an herb. And as any of you who've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I just am really, really, I love herbs. I love to grow them. I think they're easy to grow if you don't water them too much and you don't hover over them. They will do fine for you, which makes them one of the easiest things that we have. Sage, of course, will repel cabbage flies, and that really helps. It also takes care, in a lot of respect, injury from cabbage moths. And, of course, we're probably going to get into that season about in June and July. We'll look forward to that. Not at all. But with as little rain as we've had, I'm concerned that we will probably have a multitude of those kind of pests by June. And then the last one I wanted to talk about for companion planting, tansy, T-A-N-S-C-Y. It looks just like ferns. If you've ever grown ferns, even in a pot or wherever, you know the lacy look of the leaves that is so gorgeous, which is their attraction. Tansy looks like that, but it is a perennial. If you grow it, it'll come back every year, and it draws pests, eating bugs. It's really interesting. It's kind of like a, what would you call it, an anchor that you can have that will take those bugs off of the fern leaves themselves, and it'll go to the tansies. And it also helps promote ladybugs, which are really good to have in the garden. If you've never had that and you have a chance to gather some from a friend or somewhere, make sure you bring the ladybugs home because they kind of waddle around. They don't look like they're going to do anything, and boy howdy, they take care of a lot of the predatory bugs that we have, especially in the predatory wasps. So planting companion plants, I think, is one of the things. Number one, you're getting a good plant with garlic or with broccoli, cabbages, sage, all of those that have a potency to them that not only attracts the bad guys, but it takes care of them because once they get connected with them, they keel over, which is kind of nice. But the plants in your garden won't. So for companion planting, I think it's one of the things that you really might want to look into. There's all sorts of information on the web, are in books. If you have some of the old gardening books or even gardening magazines, they're probably coming up with it. This is a timely topic now, and it's always good to talk about something that can possibly help you out, and you don't have to spray some notorious something. So take advantage of these hints that I've given you. And
we got about a minute or so till our next break, but you were telling me about a tree experience you had over at the house this week. We were going to tell people about.
Oh, golly, yes.
Tell us about that real quick minute.
We have had this tree, and it's a giant tree that's grown right next to our deck. And for years, I've been worried that it's going to topple over and probably take half the house with it because it's huge, huge. We had this fella come out who is absolutely, I cannot say enough good things about him and his crew. They came out yesterday. They worked so hard. They preserved the trees that were around this giant tree. And it was amazing. It was like watching, I don't know what to say. It was almost like it was poetic. It was beautiful because the way they worked together, and they saved our deck. They saved the maple tree that was underneath the humongous tree. They just did a great job, and the workmanship between them is a phenomenal. I mean, they work, it's just like a machine, and it's called Chain Reaction Tree Service, and they're great. I'll tell you who got us in touch with them. That's Penny over at Carl Wayne's Nursery. We had said we had this tree and da-da-da-da-da-da, and she recommended Chain Reaction Tree Service. We took them. Joel Gallegos is in charge. He's mm-hmm. awesome. Everybody there was awesome. I've never been excited about big tree removal and scary. It's kind of scary, especially one that is right next to inches from your house. And I was never worried. It was just awesome. Thank you, Penny, for that recommendation. And thank you, Joel and team, because you did a great job. I highly recommend it. I don't do this very often, but I was determined to talk about Chain Reaction Tree Service today. So thanks loads, guys. I hope you're having a nice day off.
Folks, we'll be back with more Gardening in the Ozarks right after this.
Would help your garden or even begin your garden. You can find it over there at Carl Wayne's. They are packed with beautiful stuff. I mean, whirly, whirly. If you're looking and saying what a great day this is, I suggest you go drive by there, get out of your car and wander around, because she's got tons of stuff and everything she has is just really gorgeous. And they've got people there who can answer any question you have. I bet you that would happen.
Just like your tree thing. You need to go to Penny. Penny, who can cut down my tree?
Exactly. That's exactly what we did. And yes. She provided that person, and we're happy with that for sure. And so if you've got questions, get over there and point at plants, and she can say what it is and where it'll grow and how it will do. Answer all your questions.
She always says, take pictures of your spot, and then you can point at what you like, and she can say yes or no, mm-hmm. and what can go together. Or if you'd rather just watch someone else do all the work, her team over there, Robert and them, they'll get out there and take care of it all.
That's true, and we have utilized that service too. It's a full-service garden center, for surely is. In fact, for year-round it is. So whatever you're doing, if you're planting a new lawn, if you're planting a new garden, or if you're cleaning up an old one, which is what we're doing right now, she has the help that can help you. She has the answers that'll answer you.
There you go. And folks, head on over there. They're on 9th Street here in Mountain Home. If you see Penny, tell her we did talk nicely about her, even yes, though we missed her on the phone call.
You betcha.
Well, Vicki, what do we want to cover next?
Well, would you like to do the trivia?
We can do the trivia.
Or do we have time?
We do have time. This would actually be a good time to do that.
Okay. If you're new to the group, every week I have a question that comes from the week before and what we talked about. And this was something that was kind of timely that we talked about last week, and I bet you a lot of you know. What are the names of the two flowers that I said are quite a lot alike, but they have different qualities? You find them in the wild a lot, and right now they're pretty prevalent. I've noticed that everything growing is prevalent this year. It is just exquisite. But it's two things. They're kind of a wild thing, and it's not something that you probably would plant. But we talked about them last week, and they kind of make you, shall we say, sneeze every once in a while too. So I hope that's enough of an idea that okay. You remember what we talked about. I just want to know the names of the two plants that we talked about that are different, but are often mixed up for being the same thing.
870-425-5522. 870-425-5522. We're going to let this loan taker take it today. Caller, do you know the answer to the trivia question?
It's goldenrod and, Oh,
she had it.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. A good try. Thanks for calling.
Caller, do you know what the two plants are?
Was it goldenrod and ragweed?
It sure is. And you're exactly right, and they're both kind of interesting. Do you remember what the difference was between them?
No.
Okay, that's all right. Let us have your name, please, man. We'll put it in for the drawing.
Dana McDaniel.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our winner for today. I wasn't paying attention enough last week, so
Well, right. There you have it, folks. Where were you?
I was sitting here, but yes.
That can happen.
Of course, we won't have trivia next week because we won't have you. You'll be out next week. But there's still one more week. There's 5 weeks in this May.
Yeah.
So on the 30th, we'll have one more go, and then we'll do our drawing then the winner of the prize this week and then this month. And I'll find out from the upstairs what we're giving away because we always have something
good.
It's always
kind of fun.
They haven't told me what it is yet for this month. So
okay, it'll be a surprise.
Someone will win a great prize. Okay, Vicki, we got about 5 or 6 minutes here. Go ahead and share with us our next topic for today.
Okay, one of the things that, of course, is on everybody's mind, and I'm sure if you haven't yet, and I we're among the ones who have not yet planted tomatoes. In fact, I really haven't quite thought about them, but I do think, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's called allergies in spring.
Boy, they're hot, and they're very high today.
Gee whiz. They're flourishing.
The reading today was 11 out of 12, so it's all the way
really?
Up.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, no wonder I can't see and I can't talk very well. But some things that I wanted to talk about, and one in particular this time of year, just to give you some ideas, is I found a really interesting list of 5 tips for growing tomatoes, and they all make sense, and it kind of solidifies what you might be thinking and wondering. Tomatoes are about the biggest element, I do believe, in about anybody's vegetable garden. If you're going to put in anything that you want to eat, putting in tomatoes is always one of the focuses. I remember growing up in Little Rock that my dad always had the latest big boy or bitter boy tomatoes. That was his thing. He loved them, and they were wonderful, just lovely. But there are some things that you need to think about when you're planting those tomatoes, and I thought I'd just give you the 5 tips that we had come up with, my dad and I, over the years, that really helps them grow really well, no matter where you are, actually. You do have to amend the soil if you have really crummy soil. So make sure that you go to Penny's and get some topsoil, bags of peat moss and things like that to amend the soil. Growing anything in this area is sometimes difficult, especially if you've come into an area that has just been transitioned into housing and things like that. If you're in an older house that has a yard that has been used and developed, you're very lucky. If you're growing in an area that's somewhat new, even 5 years old, it'll be difficult because what you're having to do is build up the soil, and a lot of people don't realize that, and that's when they get frustrated about growing because they don't give it time. But there's 5 tips that I have developed over the years for growing tomatoes, and I thought I'd pass them on today so that possibly you could think about them. Some of them sound just, well, hello, of course I think of that. But some of them you may not, so give them a chance, and you might want to write them down for next year. One of the main things is you want to give them space. You cannot clump them together. They do not like to lean on each other. They do not do well if they're growing into each other. And if you've ever grown tomatoes, you sometimes are stunned by the fact when you plant this little bitty plant that you got that's in a paper cup or in a peat moss thing, and then there it is, enormous by the middle of summer, much less the end of summer. They branch out. If you're having good luck, they'll grow like crazy. So make sure that you set the plants 30 to 48 inches apart. And I know you'll say, that is just nuts. There's so much room here. By July and August, you'll be thankful you did, because they have room to breathe. You have room to find all those great tomatoes you're going to be growing that'll be underneath the plant. If they're in rows, space the rows 4 feet apart. And that's a lot. But that's how much those plants will grow. You need to give them space, 30 to 48 inches apart if just the plants, and 4 feet apart if you're growing by row. Plant them deeply, and that's the other thing. Bury the stem up to the first set of leaves. And some people say, good grief, that's nuts. And they just bury the little root section that they have that comes on the base of the plant. No, plant them deeply. Bury the stem up to the first set of leaves for strong roots. What happens is, all along that piece part that's going underground, you will establish roots, and those roots will carry this tomato through the entire summer, and hopefully a mammoth number of tomatoes. That's the whole point. This little stem that you're planting in is going to be the main bearer of the weight of the plant. So plant them up to the first set of leaves. Put the leaves under, or you can take, what I do is I just take the leaves off, the first set of leaves off, and bury it up to that. And then you have a straight stem, and it goes down. And what happens is you'll get roots all along that whole thing. Make sure you have support. And you need to have support when you plant them. You can't wait until they're 4 weeks old or whatever, or have been in the ground for any length of time, because you'll be amazed at how much they've grown. And then putting them in the cage will not work. Cages, or you need to stake the plant. Either one, whichever one you're going to do. When you plant it, it will make a difference, and it will avoid you having damage to the roots that will have formed later. If you don't go ahead and put the stake in there and you did it afterwards, the roots have already grown underneath there, and you're going to run into the roots and mess up your own plant. That just doesn't make any sense. So make sure you go ahead and support them. It may look silly to you, but it makes difference for the plant. Water slowly and deeply. I remember when I was a kid, my fun thing was to go out and water. And my grandmother taught me, do not stand there and have the sprinkler thing going and wafting it around like you often do when you're a kid and making rainbows and whatnot. You need to water at the base of the plant. It's really, really important. And you don't want to do it with a gush of water. You want it to go kind of slowly, not dripping, but a slow and easy amount. And you want to water them deeply, especially in the morning. I recommend that you go out in the early morning and water them really well then, and then avoid wetting the leaves if you can. And that's why you wet them at the base. That's important. And then be very aware, I should say, of the fertilizer you're using, making sure that it is for tomatoes and not just generalized, and use a slow-release fertilizer when you plant them. You need to start fertilizing them when you plant them to get them to go. So those are the tips that I have brought together over the years of planting a whole lot of tomatoes, and I hope we have a great tomato season this year. It'll be interesting, as it always is.
I joked to you before the show started that I've been working on my tomatoes, and mm-hmm. I have one of those little feeder hoses that slowly drips when you turn it on for like the beds. And the other day I accidentally left it on all night for 12 hours and woke up and my yard was also well watered.
And the great thing about having used that thing is you didn't gush it.
Right.
Had you
it
gushed
was dripping.
It was dripping all and night. It drips all night. And that can be corrected. The other could not have been corrected, so at least you did it wrong, but it wasn't disastrous.
That's right, and the grass is growing great. Folks, we'll be back with more Gardening in the Ozarks right after this break. You can call in with your questions to 870-425-5522. As we go into this next segment, I'm just loving all this advice to get us ready for spring.
Well, it's that time, and these are the things that you can go ahead and think about planting. We don't have our tomato plants out, but I'm usually the last one in the group to do that. June seems to be my time to plant tomatoes, and it's always fun and sometimes frustrating, and I understand your fun and your frustrations about it, because tomatoes are such a focus of everybody's garden if you've ever gardened it before. And it's one of the, and if you've never tasted a ripe tomato from your own garden, well, yeah, that is just a wonderful time. So I remember my dad I would know the tomatoes were ready when he would say, let's take a salt shaker out to the garden.
What a
and
memory.
Then that's a signal that he's going to let me pick a tomato and eat the tomato right out there. So it's one of those great things. But there are some other things to grow in pots and things like that that I thought we might talk about. And I, you know, it's interesting because I've done both, and I think sometimes the ones in pots are a lot easier to maintain, and they're close to the house usually, or on the front porch, and so I get it. I think it's a really great way to grow things, and in this day and age, we don't need like an acre of tomatoes at any one time, but one of the things that I think that's fun is the growing of lettuce in pots. And that is just easy. If you've never done anything like this before, I just think that you need to think about it because it's just so simple. They can be grown in any kind of pots. You don't have to have certain ones with certain sizes or certain elements. I do myself do like having clay pots. For one thing, they do breathe, and then if I overwater lettuce or anything else that's in them, it'll breathe and it'll dry out faster. So I'd much prefer the clay pots rather than the ornamental plastic ones that are really pretty. I just have to be careful because sometimes I overwater those. So the other thing that I like about growing in pots is you can move them. And as the sun changes its trajectory, lots of times I forget when I plant something out in the garden that plant is going to need some afternoon shade. It gets really hot here, as you well know. Any of you have been here more than 2 or 3 months in the summertime know that it really gets hot. So if you plant in pots, you can either move them and be very careful. That's the other cautionary tale, is don't try and lift a pot that has 40 pounds of potting soil in it. Make sure that you can move it somehow. But you can transition them as the sun angle changes during the summer, and that does happen. It makes a big difference. If you need a little more sun or a little less sun, you're able to move them, and that's very helpful. The thing also that you need to know is if we're going to have a deluge of rain all of a sudden, if it's going to pour down rain, Sammy says on the air, the rains are coming, take heart. Make sure that you can cover them with something and have something available to cover them. Sometimes even at night you may need to cover them if you're having pestiferous animals coming into the area to take care of them, such as I've heard of some skunks that have been seen recently in an area close to us, and that's something pestiferous that I would not want to have chewing on my lettuce leaves or facing me when I came out the next morning. So make sure that if you have something like that, if the weather's going to change, we're going to have a downpour or a deluge of thunderstorms, make sure you're available to cover them, that you've got the stuff there that you can move rather handily and cover them up. And then the other thing is you don't need to transplant them. It's interesting because lettuce and things like that, you can start them directly in the pot. You don't have to transplant them. And so you just have a pot, a really nice pot, and I'm talking about 10 inches, 8 inches wide or some thereabouts, and you can sprinkle the seed right on. In fact, what's interesting is I did do this. There's a place that I garden in our yard that is the old wheelbarrow that was my mother's 100 years ago, and I have a garden growing in that, and it's so easy because it's right by the front door. It's kind of pretty. I always grow lettuce and herbs in it, which are really handy, and it just fills up this old wheelbarrow. But you can also go to it and cut the things and bring them into the kitchen easily, not having to walk out to the garden. So I love that kind of gardening. I think it's so fun. And the other thing is you don't have to transplant. If you grow them from seed, like lettuce and herbs and things like that, in a container like that close to the front door or the back door or the side door, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to move them to a bigger pot. You don't have to make sure that weeds are not growing up by them. It's just a delightful way to take care of it, and it makes you feel like you're really making some progress, because usually the animals that come up to your garden are not going to come up to your front door. I say that knowing full well they have done that, but most of the time they don't. And they don't often need like 4 feet of soil. So if your wheelbarrow can handle about six inches, then I'm showing Sammy with my hand.
4 to 6.
Right. Yeah. Then it'll work well. Terracotta is a really excellent choice, and some people say, well, why don't you like to use clay? Well, I'll use clay if I have to, but the terracotta dries out. When you water terracotta, it will go through the soil, And also, the terracotta itself will draw out any excess moisture. So overwatering is usually not a problem in that kind of pot that is made of terracotta. Plastic retains moisture. It does not dry out. The soil is at the bottom of that plastic pot takes much longer to dry out than the soil that's in the terracotta. So that's the other reason to use terracotta. And make sure that you move it and check it on the bottom, because this time of year slugs are coming out. But slugs are just not really going to go looking up into the bottom of the pot. And it's really much easier because they'll be in your garden like crazy. And slugs are a big mess. And the other thing is, there's less chance of disease, which is really nice. So easy, and you can harvest all season. So there's some tips on what we need to do to get going this spring. I hope that everything's good with you. Do we need to go back to Heather?
We need to take another quick break real quick.
That's peachy.
Yep, our last break, but we still got more time for more gardening. So
okey-doke.
Hold tight. Caller, we apologize. We got a lot in the show today to cram into an hour. If you want to call back, we can take your call at 870-425-5522. Vicki, how are you taking us home today?
Well, I thought what we talked about so much about the herbs and things but there's some things that some of us who love flowers and the old-fashioned flowers, I think are the best. And there's some that I just cannot stand not to have in my garden. And I thought we'd just talk about those. They're the easiest ones to grow, and they're just not hard. And I love growing them with kids, because kids are just... their eyes get big, they love planting them in, and then you have them come back and they'll say, that came from this, from when I planted? And the ownership they get in planting the seed themselves is something that you need to start when they're young, because then you're going to have gardeners who will enjoy it forever. Some of the plants that I think are the easiest as far as the flowers to grow, and they don't need to be started indoors. You can plant them outside in the garden at this point in time, and they'll come up really rapidly. Sunflowers, we have talked about those a little bit. I love them dearly. It's an American native, North American native, as a matter of fact. And it said that the Mormons scattered the sunflower seeds on their way to Utah. And they did that so that others could follow their path. And that was one of the signals they had.
I
love that story.
Yeah.
I don't know how much reputable it is, but I think it's just lovely.
Yeah.
I'll take it too. And I think that's why I pass it on, because I love that. Cosmos, COSMOS. It's not a very well-known flower, I don't think, in this day and age, but it was long ago and one of the favored ones. It's a favorite garden annual. They're beautiful. They're easy to grow. They self-seed themselves to a great extent, too. And so it doesn't have to have really fancy soil. They're just really lovely, and they have really vivid colors now, and a lot of pinks and whites and deep, deep purples. And so it's one that you might want to try, Cosmos, COSMOS. Then, of course, there's one that I know a lot of you know, Morning Glories are great. Once they get going, they will bloom for the whole summer, and actually they will actually go on past the first fall frost, the light one, and they just do beautifully. They do take a little bit of time to grow, but once they get growing, they're great. And they're great one like to plant at bottom of a pole that you have. If you have a lamp pole, a light on top, that would be fun to put at the base. This one is a real fun one to plant with kids, as are all these flowers that I'm talking about. And of course, you know marigolds. They're great, and with a packet of marigold seeds, you can get a ton of flowers that are come up immediately. Sometimes this time of year, they'll come up really fast. One of my favorites is nasturtiums, N-A-S-T-U-R-T-I-U-M-S. I just love them. They have a spicy, sweet flavor. It's very indescribable as far as I'm concerned, but it's a real intense flavor, and they're very hardy. They're a tough flower. They're not going to wilt on you, and the blossoms come up and are just gorgeous. It was usually the blue ones or the deep blue green ones are the ones that most people have seen, but they're easy to grow in full sun or even filtered light. Just don't overwater them. In fact, most of these seeds don't want to be overwatered, so that's another thing to remember. Zinnias, are one of my other favorites. I love zinnias. They are so hardy. They are just great. It's another old-fashioned annual that I remember from years ago in my grandmother's garden, and it's just a standard in summer bouquets. If you want something that will cut, you can cut easily and bring in to your home for a bouquet or give to a friend. Zinnias are the things to go. They can be direct seeded now, no problem. They love the heat and do really well. And the difference in the color wheel for them is just something amazing. And then 4 o'clocks. 4 o'clocks are not as well known, I don't believe. I love them, and they're just as it says. The flowers open around 4 p.m. every day.
Oh.
And they don't, and no other time. How they know the time, it has to do with the angle of the sun, I guess. I have not figured that out. Unless it's cloudy. Now, if it's cloudy, they won't open.
They don't know what time it is.
They don't have a clue. They rest, I guess. But they're just lovely. And they can be planted directly anytime now. All of these can be planted directly in your garden. Or in, if you've got a large pot, that would be a lovely way to have a grouping also, that if you want to. I mean, they'll probably bloom from about midsummer through the first fall frost. In fact, most of these will, which is really kind of nifty because you know that you're going to have something that's going to be blooming all the time. And I think that's about the ones that I really prized and thought would be the best for all of you. They don't need to be started especially early indoors or anything else. You can plant them in the pots where they're going to grow, and or in your garden, wherever you want to. I think we're past the last frost.
I think so.
I think. It's going to cool off. It is going to cool off a little bit. The thing that we need to do is a rain dance. We really need to get out there
hopefully
and hustle.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
So if you...
Well, that's our time, Vicki, for today.
Oh,
we're,
my goodness.
We're right up to the
fast.
Clock. So, folks, remember, we won't be here next week, but the following week we'll be back with more Gardening in the Ozarks, right here on KTLO. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you, Sammy. Bye.